Hello, I'm Amanda Malgiri, and this is a Creating Customer Value podcast with Peppers and Rogers. This month, Martha Rogers joins us to discuss customer equity and customer worth. Many SearchCRM.com readers have been sending in questions on this topic, asking us to help them better understand what their customers are worth so they can more successfully build customer equity and loyalty. In this podcast, Martha Rogers answers these questions and gives useful tips for understanding, managing, and building customer worth in any organization.
Hi, this is Martha Rogers. I'm delighted to be here to answer some questions this month about customer equity. How do we understand what customers are worth? The first question that we have is this: what are the various stages of the customer lifecycle? Are there any lifecycle management best practices to keep customers moving through the lifecycle while at the same time building customer worth? When I think about that question, what comes to mind is the idea that it's not really up to us so much to move customers through the life cycle as for us to be responsive to what a customer's life cycle is. And that will, of course, be wildly different for different kinds of product and service categories. So, for example, it's pretty easy to understand that if it's for, disposable diapers or for mortgage lenders. But at the same time, we should also think about what the lifetime business is of our own customers. Let me give you an example. I'm sometimes asked whether or not there aren't some companies that, in fact, could only sell a product one time, and therefore such a company wouldn't need to build relationships. But we might argue that fact because, for example, what kind of company would that be? Would it be an appliance company where you've bought a refrigerator and you don't need another one for 20 years? Well, maybe, but if you buy a refrigerator from a company, then surely from that same place you might want a stove, or you might need to change out your washer and dryer, or you might want to put a small refrigerator in your office, or your child who goes off to college might need one, so the story continues. Well, but what about a product that you really only need once? How about wedding planning? Well, of course, in this country, you're bound to need more than one of those. At least over half the population will. But all kidding aside, if I were a wedding planner, I'd make it my business to make sure that if I ever did wedding planning for a couple, that I'd make sure a year later that I was planning their anniversary. Or in a few years when they start having children, that I do all the children's birthday parties. And that I plan the 10th anniversary and every other party that couple ever gives. So unless we just are devoid of creativity, we should be thinking of ways that we fit into the life stages of the customer and look at our most valuable customers and how we might want to go about doing that. So I think that when we look at the various stages of the customer life cycle, we're really looking at getting them to become our customer and try us once, and then becoming more and more valuable to a customer over time and asking ourselves, what can we do based on our knowledge of this customer? What can we do for this customer that nobody else knows how to do? And that goes beyond what can we do for this customer based on our differentiated products or services. It's really a matter of how much do we know about this customer and how can we use that knowledge to do something that none of our competitors know how to do. In our next question, we get a sort of plaintiff request, and that is the answer to this question. The executives in my organization have established that we should not spend more money marketing to a customer than that customer will spend in a single purchase. How can I convince them that we should instead base our spending on our customer's lifetime value? My answer to the person who asks this question is sort of another question, and that is, how fast can you get a different job? Because if you're really working with executives who insist that the value of a customer is no more than this transaction, then I'm afraid your company is not really going to be very successful for very long, and therefore your job and everyone else's, including theirs, is in jeopardy. I'm only half joking because most companies today are really understanding that it's the lifetime value of a customer that determines what we spend on each customer and not just this transaction. So, for example, we've done work with major gambling casinos, and in their particular case, They handle the exact same complaint from two different customers in entirely different ways, or I should say at different levels. So, for example, if you're a high roller and you come in fairly often and you spend a lot, not only at the gambling tables or slots, but also for food and drinks, then if you have a problem, then we'll probably solve it with a free weekend in the presidential suite. But if you come in only rarely and you gamble only occasionally and maybe take a meal here every now and then we will probably solve the exact same problem with a free bottle of wine. So it's not the determination of the problem, it's the determination of the customer. It's not the determination of this transaction, but overall lifetime value. So I don't know how to convince people who can't see that the transaction and the value of the transaction is a distant second to the value of the relationship itself. And if you have the numbers and you're presenting those numbers and they still don't get it, then I would just suggest that you go to monster.com and start looking for the next position, because these people are obviously hopeless. I'm only half joking, but the key is to get your numbers together and make sure that you are able to show that the relationship is really at the heart of increasing the value of the company. Our third question is this: is price discounting a good way to build customer worth, or does it attract only more one-time customers? How can we figure out if offering a discount every so often will actually help us build customer loyalty and customer worth in the long run? This is a very interesting question, and the answer is a very strong, it depends. But you've already sort of answered it in the question itself. We run the risk whenever we discount of teaching customers that the value that we provide for them is a cheaper product. And that's probably the least valuable thing that most customers are looking for. Now, in a down economy, of course, many customers appreciate all the help they can get. But there are many companies that have so completely trained their customers to expect a discount that the customers won't buy any other way, that we won't even shop unless we either have a coupon in our hands or we have the 25% off day to shop or something like that. And when that has happened, then we've become price-driven commodity suppliers, or at least price-driven suppliers. Our goal is to do something else. It's to go in the other direction, to take information that we have about customers and use that to treat that customer so well and in such a good way that that customer doesn't want to do business with anyone else, not even for any price. Even very price-conscious customers have something on their shopping list that is going to be provided for them. I'm not saying at any price or at gouge prices of any kind, but where the price or the few cents off or the few dollars off is not going to be the primary consideration. And it really does make a difference to a customer to have not just high-quality products and high-quality service, that's a given, but also to have exactly what's needed, to be able to trust the company that they're doing business with, to be able to know that they're going to get a straight answer and the next right thing and not be sold something for the sake of a commission or something like that. And so what you want are the customers who so value what you can do for them that they want you to stay in business. They understand that you have to make a little bit of profit for that to happen, and they want you to do that in a fair and straightforward way. So in general, whenever your response or your strategy or your approach is to discount a product or use a discount offer, and to do that on a regular basis, then you're probably going in the wrong direction. And generally, what we want to see is the ability to hold fast to a fair price and have customers value that enough to participate and collaborate with us. Now, having said all that, occasionally it's nice to give somebody a present or a reward for being such a valuable customer, and that's something that I think they'll continue to appreciate. Our last question this month is this one, a very interesting one from the pharmaceutical industry. This one says, I work in the pharmaceutical industry, so our customers are the doctors who write prescriptions for their patients. What's a good way to establish customer worth? Do you have any suggestions for building a doctor's loyalty? Well, we do agree that doctors are important customers for the pharmaceutical industry, while, of course, the patients are also important, the payers, the employers, the insurance company, all of those are important customers. When we think about the physician piece of that, then we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we're doing for those physicians that nobody else can do? Well, yes, we're offering this particular pill or vaccine or some other medical device or something that is available from us and not, at least while the patent is protected, from anybody else. But are we offering anything else to this particular physician that isn't being offered by anybody else? By that I mean we have sales reps going in to doctors' offices all day, every day, and if I'm not mistaken, the chances are pretty good that when we get there, we're doing things that benefit us, the pharmaceutical business, much more than the doc or even the patient that's under the doc's care. We're there trying to detail our own products. We're there touting our own products. We're there trying to show why our products should be prescribed. We're there trying to help docs understand why we should be successful selling our products. Does that sound familiar? Because if it does, then maybe it's time for us to think about a different role for ourselves. Maybe it's time for us to think about what the physician's life is like and to take the physician's point of view, how busy he or she is, what kinds of things have to be accomplished today in that office, what it's like to be dealing with a whole bunch of patients who present themselves not always accurately and yet try to make a completely appropriate diagnosis and, where appropriate, make a prescription for the exact right benefit and the right clinical result that will help that patient's outcome the most. So I guess that my suggestion for building a doctor's loyalty is to take his or her point of view and help them solve their problems of trying to find enough time in their day, their problems of how to make an office run correctly, their problems of how to see and work with as many patients as possible and still have enough time with each to make that work, and how to help those patients actually get better and to participate in their own health outcomes. Those are the things that interest physicians, not just hearing another detail from you. So how can you make that happen for those physicians? I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Thanks.
Thanks to Martha Rogers for joining us this month. Make sure to stop by next month for another installment of our podcast series where we discuss customer value and how it changes over time. Until then, I'm Amanda Malagiri for Search CRM. Thanks for listening.